anything?
I hit the wrong button. I'm so sorry. Oh, okay. It disappeared. Okay.
All right. So, good morning, Jennifer. My name is Samantha. We spoke on the phone yesterday. I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into the hearing here. Today is October 17th. The time is now 9:30. We're going to start with the petition. The petition number is BE 2019-20, parcel number 555-006-004. We have the owner is Lowe's Home Improvement. We have Jennifer Rogers from the Altus Group representing Lowe's over the phone. And we have here today Mickey Morgan and Penny Ho representing the appraiser's office. So the petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Gregory Garcia, Joe Christ, and myself, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are somewhat judicial of those certain federal and state boards and commission. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the party as of January 1st of the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor's office. The burden is on the petitioner to provide proof of the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and the notice of the appeal is your opportunity and is written at the bottom of the decision. The board is in receipt of all document data provided by you and the assessor's office. We have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. Please begin, Jennifer.
Okay. First, thank you for allowing me to attend via telephone conference. I appreciate it. So this is the Lowe's of Pasco. It's a discount warehouse store located at 4520 Road 68 in Pasco. And I would like to review the evidence submitted by the Franklin County Assessor. Do you all have this package with you?
Yes.
So on page, you'll notice that on page one, you'll notice that the value is reflective of the improvements only. The land, as identified here under item 4C, is located on a separate parcel owned by the Department of Natural Resources. This is a discount warehouse store. It's 137,499 square feet, built in 2006. Again, this is found under number 4, item D. Page, and then I'll turn the page to continue on through pages 2 and 3. This kind of summarizes the appraisal process in Franklin County. I'd like to draw the board's attention to just a couple excerpts here. In the last paragraph on page 2, about the third line from the bottom, the math appraisal process utilizes the sales to assist in calibrating assessments to the market value. And then on page 3, again, last paragraph, the first sentence, the goal of the Franklin County Assessor is to achieve assessment equity for the largest number of properties. Pages 4 through 6 are pictures of the subject property. I imagine everybody's somewhat familiar with the Lowe's store and has been in there to do your own home improvement projects. so I won't go into too much detail. Page 4 is a picture of the storefront of the Lowe's. Page 5, a site map summarizing again the improvement size of 137,499 square feet, as well as the several canopies and garden centers that are located at this property as well. Page 6 is an aerial map of the property. You can see we're located just off Road 68, technically front on the side road of Burton Road. And then page 7 is the assessor's Marshall and Swift cost calculations for the Lowe's store. Ms. Morgan and I reviewed this property based on cost in 2018, and the property owner agrees with the classifications and the adjustments Ms. Morgan makes on this property. It is a discount warehouse store of 137,499 square feet, built in 2006. The Marshall and Swift cost method identifies the cost to replace or rebuild a property in today's money, and then adjusted for the local market value. You'll notice that there's a local cost multiplier of 1.13 near the top of this page, under the second major section. This tells us that the cost has been adjusted to local building construction costs. And now we'll move on to the bottom of this page, kind of wanted to bring your attention to the itemized construction costs. The base cost, exterior walls, heating and cooling, sprinkler, and fire system. These itemizations total to find a replacement cost to build a new building. A depreciation factor is then applied based on this property's current age and condition. Again, supported by Marshall and Swift, the property owner agrees to all of these calculations, indicates a depreciated cost of $7,410,131. On page 8, the additional improvements present at the property have been calculated. This includes the parking lot, the canopies, the garden center, etc. Altogether, the depreciated improvement values for all improvements present total $8,696,222. So this is the prior page's $7,410,000 plus the miscellaneous improvements of $1,286,000. You'll notice that this is very comparable to the 2019 market assessment as well. And then finally, the assessor has applied a 20% market adjustment to the current year assessment, thus indicating an increased value to $10,435,400. After talking with Ms. Morgan over the past month, I understand that this adjustment is based on current market sales in the Road 68 commercial corridor. This type of market adjustment based on sales is typically reflected in land value when calculating on a cost approach. The market sales area would not necessarily have an effect on the cost to construct a building. That adjustment was already made by including the local multiplier of 1.13. If Lowe's were to build this property new, it wouldn't cost them an additional 20% above the cost to construct simply because it's located in this market area. A buyer, however, would see that when they purchased the land to build the property. Therefore, we find that this local adjustment should be reflected in land value, not improvement value. In other counties that have multiple Lowe's stores across the county, you can see this laid out a little better, where we have one Lowe's in a highly desirable part of town on, say, $20 per square foot land, and another Lowe's across town on maybe $3 square foot land, the improvement values would be consistent, but you would see a drastic increase in the market value because of the location and land values. All right, moving on to page 10 and 11. These two pages summarize the Road 68 commercial corridor large big box stores, of which there are two in Franklin County. This Lowe's and a Walmart just north of the subject property, also on Road 68. In our research, we found that the Walmart does not have the same market adjustment being applied to the current assessment. In fact, there is no market adjustment being made to the Walmart. In my discussions with Ms. Morgan, the Walmart does not have the adjustment because of the size of the property. The Walmart is considered a mega big box store at 213,000 square foot, while the Lowe's is only 137,000 square feet. While the taxpayer agrees with this contrast, and it is supported by Marshall and Swift, they should be identified separately as discount warehouse versus mega discount warehouse. We find that the Lowe's is more comparable to a Walmart than, say, a 3,000 square foot retail space that is receiving the market adjustment of 20%, and while the Walmart is not. The retail store that I'm mentioning is on page 11, it's the last item mentioned, or the last sale mentioned, I should say. It's the retail store of 3,301 square feet, and this is where they come up with the 20% market adjustment based on sales. So we are asking that the board consider the cost approach calculations that are identified on page 7 and 8 and correctly identify this market adjustment as a land value for the current assessment of the property. Again, this property doesn't have land that's located on a separate parcel that's owned by the Department of Natural Resources. So we are asking that the board consider a value of the improvement only at
$8,696,200. Okay, thank you. Nikki?
All right, my name is Nikki Morgan, and she just walked you through the majority of my packet. I don't feel the need to go through it again, but I do want to make a couple points. I will take you to the page 10, which is the neighborhood 300 commercial sales, time-adjusted sales 2014 through 2019. This indicates our levels of assessment in the area based on recent sales, and the median is coming in right at 80%. If we were to have been talking about land right now, I would have included it, and you've seen it in other packets, that our land is also at a similar ratio. So being treated slightly below market value, but across the board consistently. The market has been increasing at such a steady pace that a 20% increase in land this year still put us only at 80%. So we are treating it incrementally, and we are trying to keep up. As far as the difference in what the building is worth depending on the land, I don't feel that that's a justifiable basis for this argument. We treat land completely separately according to land sales in the area, and all land was treated equitably. So the difference in buildings was also treated equitably, which you can see on page 11. So what I'm trying to indicate here is that based off of sales solely in the Road 68 corridor, the two market adjustments that were applied were 20% and 40%. I was going to put 40% on everything and decided only to do 20 on retail and some of the other retail type properties, only because there were less sales in that type. If I were to have had more sales, it probably also would have been at 40%, just to try to stay up at where market values are. While we do include the cost approach, there are three approaches to value: cost, sales comparison, and income. Not doing the income approach on this property, because Lowe's does own the building and aren't leasing it, but the sales comparison approach indicates a sales price of $1 per square foot on the building itself when you subtract the land out, which is what we've done here. So using the sales comparison approach, what most counties do in Washington State, according to the Washington State RCWs, is take a market-adjusted cost approach. all of our mass appraisal software starts with a cost approach, and then you apply a market adjustment onto that. It's not strictly a cost approach. It's not strictly a market comparison approach, but it starts with the cost approach so that everyone is treated equitably, and we can identify the property by law that we have to, year, quality, condition, that sort of thing. Then take that information that we have to provide the public and modify it to the market adjustment, to the market with that market adjustment. So it's a market adjusted or a market calibrated cost approach. Mm-hmm. That's where that market adjustment comes into play. Obviously, just using the cost approach, we would be significantly undervaluing properties. And just to point out again, our ratio is consistent land and improvements. So we're not undervaluing land by any more than we're undervaluing improvements. So to say that that value should have been in the land is just not accurate on this property. To discuss the Walmart that's there, unless it was a sale, I don't think it's very relevant. Comparing assessed value to assessed value is not a way to come up with market value. It's a completely different property type which value was derived using completely different market data. So that is the crux of my packet.
What's the difference between a mega box store and a
discount
box store?
So
what's the criteria?
It's the size of the building.
Okay.
So it's 100,000 square feet bigger.
So if it's 100,000 square feet or bigger, it's a mega?
No, the size difference between Lowe's and Walmart, the difference in size is 100,000 square feet. So it's built on a much larger scale. Marshall and Swift tries to accommodate that in their cost approach and saying, okay, if we're building it a more square footage at a larger scale and you already have all of those subcontractors there, it's going to be less per square foot, that sort of thing. But it's also different on the market of now I'm trying to move 100,000 square foot more of building. Who's going to want that? My market becomes much more limited.
Okay. So that would tend to drive the cost down.
Right. It could. It just limits your market. Yeah. So while the market value may be just as high or higher, or more similar to what the cost approach is indicating, you don't know that until you have sales in your area. If someone willing to come into this taxing jurisdiction, what is this city offering? What is the county offering? What is Washington state tax laws offering? There's a lot of reasons why big business moves into an area or doesn't that the local market isn't controlling. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, do you have a rebuttal?
I just wanted to add one point. I am aware that Washington State does not consider the value of comparable properties to be grounds for an appeal. And I did not intend to present a comparison per se to the Walmart value, just the consistency of methodology and adjustments that are being made. We think that they are very comparable properties, particularly seeing as there's only the two big box stores in Franklin County. And just ask that similar adjustments be made to the Lowe's store as being made to the Walmart.
Okay. Nikki, do you have anything else?
Just that would, according to sales evidence that we have in front of us from Franklin County and even Benton County, that would prove to really skew our values and make our data inconsistent.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Joe?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that will conclude the hearing. You'll be receiving notice in the mail within the next 4 weeks. Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay. All right, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Hannah from Ryan.
Hi, Hannah. This is Amanda. I'm just going to go ahead and start jumping into your hearing here for the Board of Equalization.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So welcome to the Board of Equalization. It is Thursday, October 17th. The time is now 10 a.m. Your petition number is BE 2019-21, parcel number 116-130-034. Owner is O'Reilly Auto Enterprises LLC. We have Hannah Eveleth with Ryan LLC over the phone. We have Nikki Morgan and Penny Hill representing the assessor's office. And this is a commercial petition, so the petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Gregory Garcia, Joe Christ, and myself, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are somewhat extent judicial. For those certain federal and state boards and commission, the board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our roles is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. The clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor's office. We have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. Please begin with your case, Hannah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the introduction. So you guys, I'm assuming, have the packet that I sent in front of you, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'll just go through it page by page. So on the first page is just a summary of all the facts that are at hand here. So this is an O'Reilly's retail store located at 5505 North Road 68. And this is on the corner of North Road 68 and Sandy Fur Parkway. It's located in Pasco, Washington, on about 1.16 acres of land. And this is a new build, so it was constructed within the 2017 year. So my approach in my case for reduction is based off of a cost approach. So there is a slight discrepancy between the county's data, square footage, and the client's data. The client was reporting 7650, roughly, square feet of net rentable area, and I believe the county has a net rentable area. Where was that? 1 second. 8,748, so there's a slight discrepancy there. Otherwise, I'll continue with my case. So the value increased about 11% in the current tax year, the current value being $1,879,700, and that puts us at roughly $246 per square foot. So you see on the summary valuation section, I've got two approaches. I've got a Marshall and Swiss cost approach, which indicates a value of roughly $1.6 million at $209 per square foot. And then I have just a baseline cost approach, which I'm taking the recorded land purchase price and the recorded permit that the county has on record to derive a total cost value of $1,825,000. At $239 per square foot. So that is my requested value. So we're not too far off what the county's value currently is. And I will continue on to page two. If anyone does not have any questions, feel free to stop me. So on page two, you'll see a land and building breakout. I've got the 2019 assessed value land. The current value is $907,900. And the county has the 2019 assessed value of the improvement at $971,800, which brings us to a total 2019 assessed value of $1,879,700. So what you'll see here is I'm taking the 2016 land purchase price of $808,000 in the building permits that are listed on the county record, building permits being as of the date of July 27, 2016, of $1,016,605, which indicates a total value of $1,825,000 roughly. So that is my requested site based off of that. So if you turn to the next page, I've just got the property record card from the county, and you'll see I have a couple points highlighted here. So if you'll bring your eyes down to the sales history section, you'll see the recorded sale date of April 20th, 2016 for $808,000. And then the recorded building permits on July 27th, 2016 at $1,016,605. So that's where I'm pulling those requested values from. Mm-hmm. And then if you move to the next page, I've just got a Marshall's Swift cost estimator. Bringing us back to the discrepancy on the net rentable area, I've got an area listed here of 8,686, which is somewhere in between what the county has recorded of 8,748, what the client has reported of 7,650. So I do apologize. I was looking around. I can't seem to find where that square footage was pulled. So that is incorrect. But regardless, it would have probably utilized the 7,650, which would just bring the cost of purchase down. But you'll see the occupancy details. I'm utilizing the occupancy of a discount store, code 319, at 100% of the section. Class C, height 21, and of average quality. I've added back in the land value. This is my assumption of land value, that $808,000 based off of the 2016 purchase price, which does indicate, you'll see the total cost located in the bottom right-hand corner, of $1.6 million, roughly. And the next page, I've just included a copy of the land closing document. So you'll see the statutory or TD document of $808,000 on this page, and you'll see this being page 1 of 3 of the closing documents. On page 203, lists the date, April 20th, 2016, which coincides with the county records. And then page 303 is just the signature dated for 2016. So that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, feel free.
Okay, thank you. Nikki?
Sure.
Hi, my name is Nikki Morgan, and I'm going to walk through the packet here. So on page 1, it does talk about the fact that it's 1.16 acres of land zoned C1 commercial in the city of Pasco. We do have the same building square footage as what the appellant used on their cost approach. So there were multiple numbers given. The 8,686 is the only square footage we've had since the building was built, and it's consistent with how they valued it in their Marshall and Swift cost approach. So pages 2 and 3 talk about our appraisal methodology, quotes a couple of Washington State RCWs that requires us to be at 100% of market value. Pages 4 and 5 are our cost approach, which talks about the square footage of the building. It is a new build, built in 2017, and at that time we were there and did a full inspection, measured it inside and out, walked through the building with the manager. So we have it as average quality, average condition, package heating and cooling, concrete block walls, 21 feet tall, at a discount store. So there you see Marshall and Swift estimation of replacement cost new, less zero depreciation because it was brand new, and then the separate cost amounts for each item, which proceeds on to page 5 that talks a little bit about the yard improvements, including canopies, paving, trash enclosures. There is also on page 2 a 20% market adjustment, which this is a market calibrated cost approach, starting with Marshall and Swift and then calibrating it to the market according to recent sales of similar properties in the area. Page 6 is the sketch of the property, so it's a discount store, big retail area out front, offices in the back, and then part storage throughout the rest. Page 7 is the photo of the property. Page 8 is the aerial view. Sits on road 68, just off of Sandifer Parkway. So discussing land value on page 9, we have our statistical interpretation of the market that's going on using sales from 2014 to 2019. These are vacant land sales in the Road 68 corridor of Pasco. There in the center of the page, you'd see that the median sales or median sales to assessment ratio is 71%. And then on page 10, we have the subject property at the top, including some sales down below. And this is, again, vacant land sales. So the subject property did sell in 2016. And as we know, the market has increased substantially every year since then. So there are other sales that have taken place, ranging anywhere from $8.20 a square foot to $27.46 a square foot on Road 68. So depending on when you look at the time of the sale, the older sales are the lower sales and the newer sales are the higher sales. So each month our market is increasing, especially on the Road 68 area. Again, looking at those price per square foot and our level of assessment, you'll see that our ratio comes in at 71.78%. So this area is going to continue to see substantial land increases every year. The map of those sales is on page 11. The subject is indicated in lavender and the sales are in blue. So again, all on Road 68 except for one, which is just down Burden, very close to the subject property. Page 12 is the commercial statistics for improved properties in the area. You can see there in the center of the page, the median assessment is at 81% for commercial improved parcels in the Road 68 area. And then there are specific sales listed on page 13. Once land is removed, the price, the value per square foot of the subject parcel is $111.88. Removing land from sales that have happened in the proximity to the subject, we have a good range there, but the average overall is $200.59 per square foot. And again, the ratio of improved parcels in that area is 82.9%. So still coming in low, even with our recent market adjustments, we're just having a hard time keeping up. A map of those sales is on page 14. The subject is indicated in lavender, and then the sales in blue. So again, all in the direct vicinity of the subject property. I did include an income approach on page 15. Using the Road 68 corridor retail average quality parcels. And there's some contributing evidence on page 16 that talks about lease amounts off of Road 68. Some I was able to give you an address for because they're from lease listings or just asking the tenant. Others are from confidential appraisals or sales questionnaires from properties that's considered confidential. So you can see on page 16, the average Road 68 corridor lease amount per square foot is $19.43 a square foot. $19.40 a square foot is what's used for the market rent on page 15 in my income approach. Using a market vacancy and collection loss of 5%, and a market expense, other expense of 5%, so overall 10 there. And then the cap rate, also derived from the market and from recent sales, specifics given on page 16 to arrive at a cap rate of 8.16%. So this income approach is indicating a value of $1,863,713. So very close to what our market calibrated cost approach came up with as well. I would like to talk a little bit about the appellant's information. Using the purchase price of the land is usually a really good indicator of what land value would be, unless it happens to be 4 years old on the Road 68 corridor. Every year the market's moving about 5 to 10%, so it's a little outdated, as you can see from the sales included. And then the building permit value estimator that the building permit jurisdictions, whether it be the city or the county, uses is not an appraisal software. Sometimes it's a value estimated by the builder or the contractor, and they know that that's what they're going to have to pay the permit fee on, typically a little bit lower than what market value would be. If they use their valuation software, if the permit applicant doesn't provide them a value. They use a permit fee estimator. Again, not evaluation software at all. You just tell it what type of building it's going to be. You don't put in quality. You don't put in the class. You don't put any of those specifics in, and it just spits out a number. And so it's what they have to pay the permit fee on. It's not a value indicator.
Hannah, do you have a rebuttal?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board?
So, I guess looking at the building permit, that number 8,748, that was just a kind of an estimated number at the time that the building permit was drawn?
Yeah, and that doesn't come through our office at all. That's strictly with the building department of the city of Pasco, and they use their building department software to come up with an amount that they have to pay their fee on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the number, the 8686, that's the number based on your measurement of the building when you do final walkthrough, initial walkthrough, or whatever.
Correct.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
All right. Well, thank you, Hannah. That concludes the hearing then.
Sure. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Tom Burke calling in on the Connell LLC petition.
Welcome, Mr. Burke. So I'm going to just jump right into the hearing. So welcome to the Board of Equalization. Today is Thursday, October 17th. The time is now 10:29. We're going to start with petition number BE 2019-22, parcel number 109-831-149. Owner is Connell LLC, and we have on the phone Mr. Burke from Burke Law Offices. We have Nikki Morgan and Peter McInderfer from the Assessor's Office here today. This is a commercial parcel, so the petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Gregory Garcia, Joe Christ, and me, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are somewhat judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st, the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet and weigh the evidence to make the final determination. You will be issued a written decision, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and a notice of appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all document data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it all. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present his and her case. Please begin with your presentation, Mr. Burke.
Thank you, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
The petitioner, Connell, will rely primarily on its written submission, but I would like to go through the documents that were provided by county assessor. It is the position of Connell that the methodology used to reach the assessed value is both inconsistent and incorrect. And I'd like to go briefly through some of the materials that were provided by county, and then I will rest. I don't want to take a lot of the board's time. On the assessor's material, page 20, there is a citation to three apparently comparable parcels, where there only one is in fair condition, and the rent for a two-bedroom unit is $550. But when the assessor goes to the 219 fair market rent documentation system from HUD as a source of cost and reasonable rent, a two-bedroom apartment is listed at $962 for 2019, and a three-bedroom for $1,307. This is relevant information when you compare what are the actual rents. On page 28, the assessor cites to a Pioneer Park Apartments, a place to call home, etc., etc., and it has a $827 monthly rent for a two-bedroom unit. That's substantially less than the HUD value. And I would also point out that this complex, the Pioneer Park Apartments, has no reasonable comparison to the Connell LLC units. For example, it is assessed at $2,600,000. It's a multi-unit, multi-story, almost new building. This is hardly a comparable to our building that was built in the 1950s and is single-story cinder block. Similar observation with the assessor's citation on page 29 to a multi-story, multi-building apartment unit on 800 South County Road. I would point out that the $842 rent figure that they're quoting is for three bedrooms with one and a half baths. According to the HUD figures, a three-bedroom unit should be $1,307. Page 30 of the assessor's documentation is for a unit in Morden, Washington, at 421 South County Road. I would point out to the board that that's in Grant County. That's not in Franklin County. Where the assessor has identified on page 31 its list of information that it got, it identifies outside towns rural with a monthly incomes of four, or the base rents rather, of $475 per month. I would point out that none of those outside rural properties are identified in the list of properties, which includes addresses on page 34. All of those properties that are identified are in Central, East Pasco, or West Central Pasco, which is clearly not comparable to the Connell, Washington area. It is, you know, metropolitan, where Connell is most certainly rural. With those comments made, I will rest and thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Nikki?
Okay, thank you. My name is Nikki Morgan, and I'll just be walking through a bit of the packet here. I would like to briefly cover on page one the fact that this is 2.06 acres in the city of Connell, zoned TM, which is residential medium density. It is a seven building, fair quality, multifamily buildings, totaling 13,855 square feet, built in 1954. It includes 23 rental units, 10 one-bedroom units, 12 two-bedroom units, and one three-bedroom unit. As already briefly addressed on pages 2 and 3 are appraisal methodology. It does quote some RCWs and WACs of Washington State that require us to be at 100% of market value and the methods we use to arrive at those values. Pages 4 and 5 are the cost approach using Marshall and Swift database in our... it is a field review sheet, and it breaks down the different buildings themselves, their age, their square feet, quality, condition, as well as the other components of the buildings. There are sketches of each of the buildings included. We did visit this property and measure them. We were able to get some rent information while we were there, and there are photos on page 15 of each building. Page 16 is the aerial photography, which shows it right off of the main avenue in Connell, which is Columbia Avenue. So just off of that on Birch. Page 17 are our 2017 and 2018 commercial improved ratio, so using sales from 2017 and 2018. Near the center of the page, you'll see that the median assessment ratio is 91%. It encompasses all of the parcels within Connell and sales that have taken place. The following page takes into consideration Connell, Mesa, Clotus, and Altopia. There are a lot more sales to look at when we look at all of the rural properties in Franklin County. And the median assessment ratio is also 91%. Page 19 is our income approach, which is the approach. There are three different approaches to value: cost, sales comparison, and income. By Washington State WAC 458-07030, true and fair value criteria. In determining true and fair value, the assessor may use sales market data approach, the cost approach, or the income approach, or a combination of the three approaches to value. We did an extensive multifamily study during this time and collected many rents and expenses from not just the Pasco area, but the rural areas as well. It's on a voluntary basis, so we sent out questionnaires and followed up with all properties, and we could only use what we received back. You'll see the difference in the two different sides. So there's contract information and market information in this income approach. The contract information is what was provided by the appellant on the left, and the numbers on the right are what we found when using averages from information that was given to us from the outside towns or rural properties in Franklin County. So market rent for one bedroom was what we determined to be an average of $500, two bedroom $550, and three bedroom $600. Those are for fair quality apartments of five units or more. And the expenses are what's typical with what was included in the questionnaires that were returned to us. So 10% vacancy and collection loss, and then 60% other total expenses that are listed out there for you to see, as well as a comparison to what was the market data that was provided by the appellant. The capitalization rate of 7% is what was derived using sales of other multifamily properties that we have. Capitalization rates are found using sales of parcels. In this case, there weren't any in Connell that were comparable. So the cap rate was derived using sales from Pasco. But again, that's just the capitalization rate, and it was found to be comparable with the capitalization rate of other properties in Connell. To back up the information on page 19, there are many more pages in the packet. So the first one, it was already referenced, just what we found to be the average on the questionnaires that were returned to us for the different types of units in the outside towns or rural properties. And then, as already indicated, the government site from HUD is indicating that the average rents in Franklin County are much higher than what we're using in our income approach to arrive property value for this Connell parcel, recognizing the difference between Pasco and Connell and using rents more similar to the Connell area to arrive at that value using the income approach. Then the other, the sales questionnaires are considered confidential, and that's why you don't have a list of addresses here. sales that actually take place that are used to arrive at the cap rate, that's public information. Those are recorded documents, and that's all available to the public. The questionnaires that we receive back, we consider confidential, and we don't want to break anyone's trust, so you don't have a list of those rents that we received, and you won't. And then what we can provide you are listings of similar properties so that you can gauge what rents are going for in the area of Connell and other rural nearby areas as well. Okay. So that is the listings there that are provided at the end. When I was there, I was able to talk to one tenant and see the condition of the property inside. It's fair quality. It's an older building in Connell. She was delighted at her rent being as low as it was. She, and I quote, felt like she was getting a really good deal. So it is a management decision to only be collecting the rent that they're receiving. As we've indicated, rents are much higher than the $300 or $320 that management is currently collecting. And again, HUD is pointing out that the average for the county is even much higher than that. So the choice to continue to only charge the amount that they are in their leases or agreements is a management decision. We have to look at market data to come up with market value.
Just to follow up on the HUD information that is included is to demonstrate the differences between the market areas. Showing that we're using a rent of $500 for a one-bedroom, whereas in town, those are in the $700 to $775 range, indicate there is a difference in rents. And you can see from our income approach, we're not using those rents. We're using $500 for a one-bedroom. The other thing is, too, the rent listing from Grant County is included, as Warden is a small rural town. It gives us evidence as to whether the rents in smaller, other examples of rents of smaller towns are consistent with what was reported to us from the questionnaires we received. Appraisal having three approaches to value. If you don't have comparable sales in the immediate market area, you have two other options available, those being a cost approach or an income approach. Typically, when you get into a multifamily situation, the income approach is going to lend itself more reflective of market value in an older property, because depreciation is harder to estimate, and especially when you have a property that has multiple buildings that may have varying conditions, that, you know, a lot of that is going to be hard to estimate from the exterior. So our approach to value was based upon the income approach, and unfortunately, just because there isn't sales in the immediate area to estimate a value, we are still charged with estimating a value. So we have to use what data we have available and support our value using that market data. I think the other thing is, too, there's been questions that have been raised as to whether we have supplied the evidence to the appellant. In our opinion, we believe we have provided, we've provided the sales that we've used to develop our cap rates. We provided you the information we can share as far as expenses and rents that we receive to determine our market value. And with the inspection that was made as well in that area, Connell, last year when we did this property, any opportunity we can get to get income and expenses or rents from tenants. We take that and we make that attempt to obtain that information. It's just more market data that we have. So this is doing appraisal work in a smaller town is always difficult because there's less data available. But that doesn't mean our value is any less reliable. We just came at it in a different way, using the cap rate and rents to develop the income approach and value.
Thank you, Peter. Mr. Burke, do you have a rebuttal?
Just a question, and I could bring it up with them later. I have nothing further in my way of rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? I think Joe has
so much paper. So the value that you used on your income approach, you have $600 for a three-bedroom unit. That's on page 19.
Yes.
And it looks like your average was on the next page. It shows like 550. And I guess looks like you tweaked that up a little bit, if I understand correctly. Was there a reason for bringing that up?
Which one are you speaking of?
Page 20, you have three-bedroom, rent three-bedroom, shows 550.
Oh.
So it's really the same for both the two-bedroom and the three-bedroom. I was just wondering why you bumped it up on the... I mean, it's a minor amount. It's not going to change it much, but it just...
Depending on how many questionnaires we received, we also have to take into consideration the other rents that were collected. So the other rents in the area were more typical of the $800, which is just below that.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference there between fair and average, we can't do fair plus in our cost system as quality. And so we're going to look at all of them and say what's typical in the area.
Okay. That kicks it up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, I don't have any other questions.
Greg, do you have any questions?
No.
All right. Then that concludes our hearing.
All right, Mr. Burke, thank you very much. You will receive the decision in the mail within the next 4 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Welcome back to the Board of Equalization. Today is October 17th. The time is now 11:25, with this hearing supposed to start at 11:20. Petition number BE 2019-24, parcel number 117-420-163, and then the owner is Schlechte et al. Mr. Schlechte is not present today. We do have Benny Ho representing the assessor's office. This is scheduled as a residential hearing. The petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board. With that, we only have our assessor's office representing their case today, so we'll go ahead and start with them.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. Board members are Gregory Garcia, Joe Chris, and my Alicia Greenaway as chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are some extent judicial, as of those certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by the assessor's office is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and take the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make the final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of the document data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present his case first, and then the assessor will present her case. We have read the documents, and we will start with Ms. Fenny Ho, since the appealant isn't here. Thank you.
Hi. So I'll just jump right in. Page one is our answer to the petition. The total value of this property at 6306 Fisto Down Drive is $315,900. It's a 0.37 acre lot, which is about 16,131 square feet. Zoning is residential R1. The house is 2,017 square feet, single family residence, one story. Has a 696 square feet attached garage with 132 square feet finish, 111 square feet front cover porch, 490 square feet back cover porch, and also two 120 square feet pergolas. Page two shows the value and the adjustments that was applied to land and the improvements. Page three is our field review. It will give you the characteristic of the home. It's a 2006 built hardboard sheet, warmed and cooled air, comp shingle, it's on slab, three bedrooms, two bathrooms, has a fireplace. Page four, photo of the home. Five is the photo of the back of the home. Six is the sketch. Seven and eight is Franklin County appraisal methodology. And state law requires us to appraise property at 100% of its true and fair market value. Page nine has a description of the appellant's neighborhood in the market review. 10 and 11 shows our statistical summary report. There were 32 sales in this neighborhood, and our ratio for that neighborhood is at 96.11. And again, we are, state law says we need to assess at 100%. So page 11 will give you style, quality, condition, size, and their sale prices. Page 12, is the map of the neighborhood with the sales. You will see the subject in kind of like reddish purple outline labeled subject, and the samples of homes that sold in the neighborhood that are the most comparable to subject are circled in blue. And 13 and 14, you'll see samples of these homes and what they are sold for, price per square foot. They're the same quality, condition, similar in size. And our subject price per square foot is $156.62. These are going for $153, $154, $163 price, and their ratios are in the 90s. I also included vacant land sales in this neighborhood. Because of the size of the appellant. He has a bigger lot size than what the rest of the county or rest of his neighborhood looks like. So page 15, I broke it down to show the land size, what his value per square foot is to, compared to what was sold since 17, 18, and 19. And my average for the price per square foot sold is $4.92. The appellant is being valued at $4.72. The average ratio is 84%, which we're still consistently low if you've been hearing all the cases. And then page 16 shows the map of the subject in blue and the sales of vacant land sales are in pink. And that concludes.
Thank you. Any questions?
Nope.
No? No? Okay. Thank you, Fanny.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Okay, we are back here. Chairwoman Alicia Greenaway will now read the decisions from the day.
All right. BOE decision announcements regarding BE 2019-20 parcel number 555-006-004. Petitioner's name is Lowe's Home Improvement. Board decision to sustain assessor's value $10,435,400 is based on number 14, number 3, and number 19. BOE decision announcement regarding BE 2019-22 parcel number 109-831-194. Petitioner name is Connell LLC. Board decision to sustain assessor value. Sorry. Wrong piece of paper here. $752,900. Is based on number 3, based on the income approach. BOE decision announcement regarding BE 2019-21, parcel number 116-130-034. Petitioner name is O'Reilly Auto Enterprise LLC. Board decision to sustain auditors or assessors value of $1,879,700 is based on number 3, based on market adjustment cost approach. BOE decision announcement BE 2019-24, parcel number 117-420-163. Petitioner name is Shaletti. Board's decision to sustain assessor's value of $289,300 is based on number 14 and number 3. This concludes our hearing for today.